Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Now let's go back to your calls. Then we've got a guest coming up. I'm going to play this piece Dana Carey did of with Dennis Miller. Is Rosie right? Is Bush behind blowing up the towers? The answer is no. Bush is a puppet, but the people that control him did. Joe in Maryland, and then Jim and others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Joe.
Yes, Alex.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, this is a pleasure to talk to you. Long time listener, first time caller. This is more of a I don't know if you could classify it as a question or a statement about the World Trade Centers and the official line that we're supposed to believe that the two aircraft flew into them and the heat from the jet fuel weakened the structure and made them fall. You're a student of history. You know that when we dropped the nuclear weapon on Hiroshima, that the only building that remained standing was the one that the bomb detonated directly over top of it. Here you have unfathomable amount of heat and force, and as far as I know today, that building is still standing. And it's something that I hadn't heard anyone brought up, but here the building is 60 years later, still standing after a nuclear detonation right over top of it.
Well, fill people in on that particular building. I vaguely remember it.
Well, if memory serves me correctly, the Air Force used, it was actually, the target was supposed to be a bridge in Hiroshima, but of course, you know, not being, it was a free fall bomb. The bomb was dropped, I assume, using the bridge as a target, and it must have drifted. The bomb detonated, I believe it was at an altitude of 1,800 feet above this building, and the force, the building obviously is at its strongest point is from the top down. And for a building who knows what the building standards were in Japan in 1930 or whenever the building was built, but it withstood a direct blast from the top of a nuclear weapon with unfathomable amounts of heat and force, and the building is still standing. Yet you're expected to believe that an aircraft traveling at 400 knots flies into a building with who knows how much fuel left on it. The best that I could tell, an aircraft, when it takes off, consumes about at least 25% of its full fuel capacity on takeoff and climb to altitude. And then the trip from that point back to the World Trade Centers, how much fuel you see that when the aircraft flies into the side of the building, you see a big puff of what's obviously fuel burning. That didn't burn inside the building, but yet we're supposed to believe that fuel and the impact of this aircraft brought down two buildings. So,
and then you get into Building 7, and then you get into hijackers training at U.S. military bases, then you get into CIA insider training, then you get into government drills of planes attacking the exact same buildings at the exact same time. Then you get into motive, then you get into the NORAD stand-down, and the order 2 months before by Cheney to not let generals shoot down planes, changing the default position. And then you get into the U.S. troops massed to invade Afghanistan in the months before with the launch orders on the desk of Bush 2 days before. And then you get into hundreds of other points, and you know it's a total inside job.
Exactly, and it just this question or a comment was mainly obviously geared to the people out there that still cannot accept the fact that there's no way that fuel could heat,
even if it heated the buildings, it wouldn't aerosolize the concrete into giant pyroclastic ejections. Only massive explosives do that. It turned it into pulverized dust.
Exactly, and even if it were possible, what are the odds of all, I believe, what are there, 24 columns in each building, plus you had I think you said 48-foot diameter columns in the center of the building.
47, yeah.
Even if that were possible, what are the odds of every one of them failing at the same time, which would initially have to happen, and not only to happen once, but to happen twice?
Well, and then it happened on 7, too. It's all magical. In fact, we're going to be talking to an expert on this on the other side. Thanks for the call. We will get to Jim and everybody else as well. Kurt Vonnegut, 84, he's dead. And Kurt Vonnegut was a 9/11 skeptic. He was definitely looking at inside job.
It's
This year, after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi folks, Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrated for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calbin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, Bill Doyle and Bob McElvain today filed a petition with the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, seeking correction of inaccurate factual statements and analysis in NIST reports on the destruction of the Twin Towers. Mr. Doyle, who we've interviewed before, has said he believes it's an inside job, is the representative of the largest group of 9/11 families and the coalition of 9/11 families, and lost his son Joey in the collapse of the Twin Towers. And Mr. McElvain, an outspoken 9/11 truth activist, lost his son Bobby when the World Trade Centers were destroyed. Right now, I want to play, and it's only about a minute and a half long, we'll go right to our guest, Dana Carvey on that sellout Dennis Miller, you know, the big fake liberal Dennis Miller, never was a real liberal, folks, making jokes about, you know, it was Bush behind the towers. And you got to ask yourself, is Carvey being serious? Yeah, he might be. But I don't know. The point is that this is exactly how things work, and this is what the facts do show. Here is this piece.
Like Rosie O'Donnell, and they just want to they want to ape the notes. You know, young 13-year-old boys, who do they look to? They look to, you know, Rosie.
Well, my take on that, I don't know. I know you probably talked about it yesterday, but what if she's right?
That Bush blew up the building.
Yeah, and that we incited the Iranians with Blair. It was a whole plan. And what if she scared the hell out of this secret neocon conspiracy, this international cartel run by Cheney and Bush and his dad? Are they scared? Are they at night on the phone going, "Daddy, she's getting close. I don't know what we're going to do." Well,
We got to keep our heads calm, son. Remember when we had the trouble with Howie Mandel and he got close to our operation? Had to get the game show to get him off the trail. But, Daddy, we can fool all the people. How come this comic on The View can see right through us? She's crafty. She's sneaky. Looks right through you. Kind of a rotund oracle. Daddy, what about Joy Bear? She's one of ours. Anyway, it goes on and on. I don't want to bore your listeners, but that's...
Now, I'm not saying they're 9/11 truthers. Obviously, they're making a joke, but you can just hear it in their voice and that fake Dennis Miller laugh, and this is... I mean, these guys aren't stupid. They cannot know that they've been lied to about 9/11. I mean, they've got to know. But that clip's up on JonesReport.com, as well as a little lithograph hand sign that Kurt Vonnegut sent me last year. I think I mentioned it once, but since he died yesterday, I thought we'd put it up with a story. Paul Watson, it's also on PrisonPlanet.com. Just put a story up about the Kurt Vonnegut thing. I hope you get it out to people. And he was questioning the official story. I'm not going to say he believed it was an inside job, but what I got was he was investigating, watching my films, and that he certainly thought that there was a lot of evidence towards that. Let's go ahead and go to Bob McElvain. Bob, thank you so much for coming on with us.
You're welcome, Alex.
Tell us about basically this petition that you guys have brought to NIST and who's involved, and then tell us a little bit about your story, if you can.
Well, I'll tell you my story real fast. My son Bobby, of course, died 9/11. He worked for Merrill Lynch, and from the very beginning, I sort of had questions, but it took a real while for me to get to where I am. It's sort of an evolution. I did make all the commission hearings, and there was a time during the commission hearing that I just sort of gave up, and I said, this just stinks. It's a whitewash. It's a scam. And since that time, I just devote all my time to 9/11. Before, I was very involved in the peace community. And I sort of just thought of the blowback theory of Chalmers Johnson about, the foreign policy and making people understand what our foreign policy has done. And this is the blowback and why we had 9/11. But, again, it's evolved into... I personally feel it was an inside job. So in my travels, I've met so many people who are involved in the 9/11 truth movement. Of course, I've met Steve Jones, and they had called me and asked me. And trust me, I don't know if you said I am an expert on this, on the physics.
Well, I mean, by expert, you lost family. You lost skin on this.
Yeah, as far as this petition, it's so important that I put myself out there as a family member. And to any listeners, to those jokesters that were just on the air, just any time they want to make a joke about this, just put them in my business, or as a father, as a husband or a wife, and your relative or your son or your daughter has been murdered, and you supposedly have an investigation. Well, this is what the 9/11 Commission hearing was all about, and I'm not going to sit here and talk about that. I could talk about that for another 6 hours. But it was a whitewash. It was never meant to be an investigation. Ben Venise actually said, this is not an investigation. It is merely an exposition. What is an exposition? You just lay things on the, facts on the table, and then you make the decision what happened.
Well, they said that we're not trying to assess blame here. We're just going to basically come up with recommendations of what to do, and that was in the Republic, total police state.
Correct. And just as far as this petition, it's a petition by, Steve Jones is involved in it, and a couple other people, and of course, Bill Doyle. And it's a request for a correction of the information disseminated. Disseminated, of course, information they threw out. And the main crux, and now this, you're talking about a 10,000 page report. NIST being the National Institute of Standards Technology. It was their job to investigate the reasons for the failure of the World Trade Centers 1, 2, and 7 falling down. Okay? Now, go back quickly to the commission. Their only response to what happened that day, that the core, I heard you talking about the core a couple minutes ago, the core of the building was hollow, only filled with stairways and elevators. Right? That's the only information we got from the commission. Obviously, I think the whole crux of this story is how in the world could 47 columns, steel columns, in the core of the building possibly fall from this from this attack. So the whole report, and this is very important, the National Institute of Standard Technology spent one half a page discussing why the towers fell. As was with the commission, just spent time parroting what the government wanted them to say. It's not an objective report, and this is what this is all about. We are requesting that we get objective information disseminated to the public, period.
Absolutely. And then they never even mentioned Building 7 in the report.
Oh, of course, they didn't mention Building 7. So this report is basically 1 and 2, just to show people, so they can get it out in layman's terms, that's their duty, to disseminate this information in an objective and unbiased manner. The same kind of what the commission was supposed to do, and this NSIT is supposed to do. And certainly it's not unbiased. And so this is it's a 28-page petition and explaining what hasn't been done in 28 pages, but it's very important it comes out in layman's terms so people understand it. I mean, no one's going to read a 10,000-page report.
Now, I want to go back because there is architect Richard Gage, a member of the American Institute of Architects, and there's a scientist and former site manager of environmental health for Underwriting Laboratories, Kevin
right.
Ryan, has signed on. And then, of course, there's Dr. Stephen Jones, a physicist, and a lot of others. But before we get into that, first off, I'd like to specifically talk about your son and personalize this for people, because I've talked to literally hundreds of victims, family members here on the show. I've listened to hundreds of other interviews on other shows. I've talked to the heads of the family groups, like Bill Doyle, saying more than half believe inside job. I believe inside job. He said the same thing you said about how it was a process. What is it like when you see Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity and people like Glenn Beck say all the families believe that bin Laden and all the families love George Bush and all the families want the war, and use your name and your son's name for their police state and their wars? What is that like when the truth is most people hate them, hate Giuliani, the firefighters hate them? I've been to Ground Zero many times, and almost all the families know they're being lied to. A majority believe it's an inside job, and then still this fraud goes, and then the final thing, you know, what happened to your son, what you think of them using you, and then finally, if everybody is waking up and starting to go public, how are the real perpetrators going to contain this?
Well, how do I feel? It's like I'm shaking right now. I get extremely upset, and that's why I really have to pace myself on this, because I just can't let my emotions take control of what I'm doing. You know, it's almost like I got to believe that I got to keep playing in the sea. And the fact that I'm out here really helps me. I either have to turn the TV off, stop reading, and just walk away from it, or I have to be totally immersed in it. And, of course, I watch a rally. I've been on their rally show. I've been involved with Hannity and Combs. And it's very, very difficult. I have a bad temper. And I don't know what I would do if I met them individually. I've been, I would go down when I was on the Bill O'Reilly show. I was down in Philadelphia. Because I said that. I said, I cannot possibly be with on the show in person because I'm afraid what would happen. And it gets me extremely upset. But I truly have to believe that I just got to stay out there and believe that planting seeds is the best thing I can possibly do and stay totally active. And it's extremely difficult to do. I get very depressed. And the fact that they can make jokes of it, anyone that's listening, it's simple information. It's objective information. And one of the grandest pieces of propaganda that goes back to the turn of the century is you call people's names. And this is very important to them. You call names. Make a joke of it. Because this gets to the lowest level of people. And this is all part of propaganda. So, and I don't understand why they do that, but it's just that I don't know what book I read, but it's like they're desk murderers.
Are you offended? Are you offended by what Dennis Miller and Dana Carvey were, joking? I mean, you lost your son.
I'm offended by everything. I truly, truly, I just wish I could get them in a room and just one-on-one and not on TV. You know, I just have to tell myself, hey, they're all in it for the money. And if they haven't investigated this, I truly believe they believe what they're saying. But they're not reading it. So it's just, ignorance is blissful.
Please stay with us. Please stay with us. I want to talk about the report, please, sir. This is very painful for all of us. I know most of all for you. We'll be right back.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa. Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Craig Walcott, chartered financial consultant and host of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program, and million-dollar earner in the network marketing field since 1989. I certainly know what it takes to succeed. I also know without proper tools, your chance for significant income in the network marketing field can quickly fade. The sad truth is that 99% of the people who enter network marketing will never spend the time nor money to develop the skills they need. That's where MLM Incorporated steps in. No matter what network marketing venture you're involved in, MLM Incorporated can provide you the successful tools you need to truly succeed. A subscription to MLM Incorporated will provide you access to the 3-hour Industrial Revolution of Network Marketing Seminar, where you will learn to perform at a level you never thought possible. Radio, TV, internet, direct mail will all be at your fingertips. Weekly training calls, no additional charge. Plus so much more can't be mentioned in 60 seconds. Visit MLMIncorporated.com to hear how you can become one of the elite income earners in the network marketing field. MLMIncorporated.com, where your success is guaranteed.
Right now, 65% of Americans are overweight. Experts say by the year 2010, that number will increase to 75% and 35% will be obese. Because of these deadly statistics, Dr. Joel Wallach, host of Dead Doctors Don't Lie, has done extensive research and has found what he believes is the biggest breakthrough in weight loss in 50 years. It's called Slender FX. Slender FX opens the door for a healthy metabolism, permanent weight loss, reduction of low thyroid symptoms, and considerably increased energy by helping to balance your leptin levels. Finally, a weight loss breakthrough you can trust. Go to NoFatsNow.com and discover the amazing benefits of Slender FX today. Take the 90-day challenge just in time for summer. If it's not everything we say and more, simply return the empty bottles and get your money back, guaranteed. Visit NoFatsNow.com or call 800-972-8211. That's 800-972-8211. And for a limited time only, find out how you can get a free bottle of Slender FX by going to NoFatsNow.com.
Bob McElvain has got to leave us soon, but I want to get him up for a full hour in the near future to really tell his story and what happened to him and his family. So you're one of the victims, family members, a victim of all this yourself. I can't imagine losing my son. that signed on to this, but I mean, again, describe what this petition to NIST says and why it's important and why people should go check it out for themselves.
Well, it's very simple. It's the people who signed on, Stephen Jones, Ryan, Gage, myself, Mr. Doyle, or Bill Doyle, it's we're called the requesters of the petition. We're requesting for correction of information disseminated by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. That's NIST. These are the people that wrote this paper on the WTC, the World Trade Center 1 and 2.
And that's stuff like there were no 47 steel columns and the Easter Bunny did it.
You're correct. And again, their job is just to disseminate information in an objective, utilitarian manner. In other words, it's intended to be used by the public to understand what happened. And quickly, one half page was devoted to why the towers fell. And this is why Steve Jones, physicists, engineers have gotten involved in it. They haven't explained. And, you know, and people, you know, they'll call me a conspiracy theory theorist. And I'll say, well, no one's explained anything to me. And specifically, I'm just using the towers now, but I could go on and on and on about other subjects. I want to know why my son was murdered. And probably he died when the towers came down. And there's a good possibility he died from an explosion. Well, if it's from an explosion, then who murdered my son? It's obviously not the planes going in there, because he was on the outside when it came, when the planes hit, supposedly. So that's all I want. I want to know who murdered my son, and how anybody can possibly question that. And then look at the commission and look at this NIST report where they don't give you any answers at all.
For those that have for those that have studied history and know military tactics, it's called sacrifice. I mean, generals will sacrifice back in the big wars, you know, 10,000 troops in a maneuver just to suck in an enemy. They'll send in our troops to get caught in a gorge to then suck in the main force of the other enemy. So, but people that can't imagine they'd kill 2,800 and some of Americans, including your son, to get World War III kicked off and take global control, they got another thing coming. As this unravels, do you agree it's unraveling, and then the 9/11 truth is accelerating and more family members going public? I mean, that's what's happened. And then what will the establishment and those guilty do? What can they do? Because I don't think they expected for people to start waking up like you and others have done.
Well, what would they do? I don't know. You know, to me, it's like I spent a lot of time in Iran-Contra, and I know Iran-Contra, and then going into the Clinton years, a lot of people just start disappearing. I think that's going to be their only alternative. Hopefully, I'm very pessimistic because I get so down, and I really do get depressed about all this. And I can see it's, you know, the truth movement is moving forward. But I just don't know, because people I talk to, they just don't want to believe that this can possibly happen. And I really do have hope, and it does help me to talk on shows and to keep getting involved with people and to do my reading, but I don't know. I think I'm a pessimist. I just don't have that much hope, because I just think there's going to be another false flag. That's their only alternative. And then everybody will forget about it again.
Is it painful when they do carry out false flags like 7/7? I mean, to see the killers grandstanding as the saviors. I mean, this isn't like a normal murder where they murder and they disappear into the night. You never know who they are or seen them. With this, you've got to look at the killers on TV traipsing around as heroes. Well, what is that like for you?
Well, it's really bad. I think you have to be a real student of history it just doesn't overwhelm me. I mean, if you understand this century, I've talked in South America. I've been to Japan. I've talked around the world. And people around the world have been dying like this forever, you know. And that's—I really don't want to be looked at as a victim. I'm just part of this what you call, I guess, the New World Order. It's a Machiavellian philosophy. They really feel justified in doing anything they want, as long as it's good for what they say is the national good. It's like Lee Hamilton constantly is involved in covering up things. Well, it's because it's for national security. So that's where their justification is. So it doesn't matter how many people die, because it's for the national good. And that's what people have to understand. We as individual citizens, it's like you said, making the comparison to a military general saying, hey, we're going to sacrifice 10,000 people. My son was sacrificed for the good of what they think is good for the nation. And that's sad. It really is sad. And it's extremely upsetting to me. Extremely upsetting.
God bless you, Bob McElvain. We'll have you up again soon. Thank you for the time, my friend. And we've got links to the petition and info on InfoWars.com. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your help, Mark.
God bless.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
How are you feeling today? Well, I ask because if you have health challenges, then reading our free e-booklet about the most amazing discovery of our time is crucial. The booklet is about an amazing fruit from Southeast Asia they call mangosteen. It's a centuries-old medicinal fruit whose time has come, and it has amassed 40 years of published research. We have information and testimonials from all over the world about the health potential of this amazing fruit. The powerful botanical has contributed to the well-being of millions of people the world over with health concerns just like yours. You can have this 22-page e-booklet absolutely free. We'll also offer you a website with links to actual testimonials and product information. Could this fruit help you in your quest for total health? Find out why mangosteen is known as the queen of all fruits and why it's fast becoming the best-selling wellness product ever brought to the market. Your health is in your hands. Do something about it today. Call 800-658-0597. Again, that's 800-658-0597.
Thus says Yahweh, if you will not keep my commandments by violating my covenant, I will bring upon you sudden terror. Just as prophesied, the judgments upon America have begun. Yes, the terror attacks of 9/11 opened Revelation's first seal. In the name of peace and safety, the Rider King has mounted his white horse, waging wars and rumors of war, conquering the Middle East for treasures of oil. Get Two Witness Ministries' next shocking revelation, The Rider of the White Horse, George W. Bush in Prophecy. Visit the website, twowitnessministries.com. King George II beats the war drums for his next invasion, Iran and Syria. More nations are to follow, including the draft of your children. With a $25 love offering to Two Witness Ministries, get the book, The Rider of the White Horse, at Box 2453, Abilene, Texas, 79604. Unless she repents, America will not survive the Red Horse of World War III. We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
You just heard from a father whose son was murdered by these people. And yeah, I played that clip full well knowing that it would be offensive to that father. But I wanted to point out that that's done every day on national television, on the radio, and he hears that every day. I talked to him beforehand. That's what they do. And they have to hear that, and it makes them mad. We were illustrating that here on air. It's all real funny, huh? You laugh about 2,800 and something dead people killed by criminal elements of this government because you're a slack-jawed yuppie. But slack-jawed yuppies, do you think you're safe? Do you think you're part of the system? Do you think that that stuff can't happen to you? A government that'll do that will do all sorts of other things. And let me give you the news flash. They are doing all of those things to you. They're doing that to you every day and every way. All right, I know we got loaded phone lines here with Tim and Johnny and Pat and JD and Tom. We're going to get to you, but and I've got some other news here, some genetically modified plant news and what its health effects it's causing and some other things. But what we'll do is I'm going to play this six-minute long clip of James Bamford, big researcher, former news executive, ABC News, getting to Northwoods, but then he's got a book out about Iraq being a pre-planned stage deal. He talks about, so it's three different clips, one of them's national TV, and the other two are local. I think one's New York, one's Boston. Television, it's just, we've interviewed him before, but this is kind of condensed and important to hear as well, because we keep hammering on 9/11 truth a lot lately. You know, I might go a month sometimes without really talking a lot about it. I should. Lately, I've been on it a lot because sometimes I might go a month solid on it because it's so central. The war, the police state, everything is based now on that fraud. It must crumble. We must defeat that lie. Then we'll go to your calls after this and then hit some other news reports. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and whoever put this on the web, put some music over the start of it. We've cut most of the intro off, but it overlaps some of Bamford, so that fades out in a moment. Bear with us. Here it is.
To show that the there was an attack by Cuba on the United States, and the idea was to have U.S. personnel from the CIA and other places secretly create terrorism in the United States. The documents actually said people would be shot on American streets, bombs would be blown up. And again, all this, the evidence would be laid to point the finger at Castro. One other idea was they were going to, they had a very complex plan where they were going to take an aircraft and load it with CIA people, look like college students, fly it over to have it take off from an airport in Miami with a lot of publicity. And then it would quickly, after it got into the air, land at a secret CIA base. At that same time, an identical plane would take off from that CIA base. So this plane would be empty, and it would be remotely piloted from the ground. It was a drone plane that would be very similar to the passenger plane that had just taken off. And once the plane was over Cuba, there was going to be a tape recorder that would have played a distress call into a microphone saying help, we're being shot at. And a few minutes later, once the plane was over the Caribbean Sea after it passed over Cuba, it would have somebody would have pressed a button on the ground, blowing up the plane, and they would have blamed Cuba for killing a plane load of American college students. These were all outrageous plans. They made their way all the way up to Secretary of Defense McNamara. Actually, the plans were all signed by all members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then they went up to McNamara, and McNamara rejected the plan, and that was the end of it. So it never got put into effect, but the fact that you can get all the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the senior military officials in the U.S. government signing off on a plan that outrageous is extraordinary to me.
Good evening, you're watching The Digital Age, and I'm James Goodale. The Digital Age talks about terrorism, because terrorism is part of the digital age, and tonight we are going to talk about terrorism, and we're going to talk about a book that talks about 9/11 and Iraq. This book, as you can see, is called A Pretext for War, 9/11 Iraq and the Abuse of Our Intelligence Agencies. It was written by James Bamford, Jim Bamford, and thank you for stopping by. Jim, it's great to see you again.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
Now, your conclusion, I'm going to read your conclusion of this whole book and ask you some questions about it. Here's what you say. Thus, the Bush administration's massive disinformation campaign, abetted by a lazy and timid press, succeeded spectacularly in driving the public to support its long-planned war. So I want to ask you, generally speaking, and we get to the end, and you can respond more particularly if you wish, but we'll deal with it as we go along. Was there really a disinformation plan? Well, I guess you'd say yes, there is. Okay, so what was the disinformation plan?
The administration had been wanting to go to war for years, even before they came together in January of 2001. They've been wanting this war in Iraq. They've done everything. Once in 1996, the same group of people that were the architects of the war in Iraq planned it for Israel, and they sent it to Benjamin Netanyahu, the former prime minister of Netanyahu, when he became prime minister, and Netanyahu didn't go along with it. They tried to get
Stop.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's quite a mouthful that you just said there.
Right.
And I don't think I've read that anywhere else. And if anyone were to read your book, they ought to read the book, I would say, in some part because of what you just said, which was there was a plan on the books that had been given effectively to Israel, and it was reactivated. And I want you to explain more about that. But I also want to say that I tried to get someone else to come on the program to counter your view on this, because I think this is a pretty unique statement. So excuse the interruption, but explain a little bit more about there already was a plan,
96.
The plan had been there for 1996 and was mothballed, and that's what you're saying, and was brought out, and explain.
Yeah, in 1996, three people, there were more, but the three key people who later became senior officials in the George W. Bush administration, Richard Perle, who became the chairman of the Defense Policy Board, Douglas Feif, who became the number three person in the Pentagon, the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, and David Wimser, who ran a little intelligence unit in the Pentagon and then became Vice President Cheney's Middle East advisor. They were working for Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. They actually signed on as consultants to Benjamin Netanyahu in 1996, which sounds extraordinary as it is, but they did. One of the things they did was create a foreign policy forum with regard to what they should do in the Middle East. And one of their key suggestions was to overthrow Saddam Hussein and replace him with a leader who was friendly to both Israel and the United States. The person they had in mind was Ahmad Chalabi, who later became fairly famous in the U.S. in the U.S. attack.
1996.
But this was 1996.
They had a plan. Okay, the plan to put Chalabi in power.
It was called a clean break. I mean, the plan is still on. It was for a think tank in Israel that they were doing this for on behalf of Benjamin Netanyahu.
They were paid by a think tank in Israel?
It was a think tank. I can't remember the name of it right now, but it's on their website. Somebody does a Google search of a clean break and they'll find it. It's well known. Nobody's ever denied it. It's out there. Right after September 11th, Richard Perle's Defense Policy Board had this big meeting. You know who was at that meeting? Ahmad Chalabi.
And Henry Kissinger.
And
the whole board was there.
At least Henry Kissinger, you know, there's a reason for him to be there. The former
But what was Chalabi doing? I see what you're saying.
What
was Chalabi doing at a meeting when he's not even a member of the policy?
He's an Iraqi. The whole idea was for years and years and years and years to overthrow Iraq, get rid of Saddam Hussein, put their friend Ahmad Chalabi in office. This is not an original idea on my part. This is well known by now.
But all the reviews about your book say it's a great book because you connect the dots.
The entire top of the building just blew up.
The second explosion, and another explosion, and another explosion.
But we have a report now of a fourth explosion at the Trade Center.
There has just been a huge explosion,
It almost looks like one of those implosions of buildings that you see.
We heard a very loud blast, an explosion. Not clear now is why this explosion took place.
Do you know if it was an explosion or if it was a building collapse?
To me it sounded like an explosion.
All the members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the senior military officials in the U.S. government signing off on a plan that outrageous is extraordinary to me.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Do any of you feel safe? I mean, in 63, they just killed one guy and then a couple hundred to cover it up. Then in 93, they tried to blow up one of the whole towers, but thank God the people they trained didn't park it right up against the column, didn't do it, World Trade Center. Then in 93, they, killed some people at Waco, but that was just to demonize and set the precedent to attack, quote, cults. Then a few years later, in 95, they killed 160-something, 168. And then on 9/11, folks, they killed almost 3,000 people. So if you look at how things grow each time, we're talking about hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions next time. They will stop at nothing. They will never stop. Let me tell you, right now they're not invincible. If they get the strategic bomber forces under robotic satellite control, which they're going to have within just 5-6 years, laden with neutron weapons, neutron bombs and hydrogen weapons, and if they get the Air Force switched over to robotic and enough ground deployment forces, you're dealing where the elite can actually attack the population, claim somebody else did it, do whatever they want, and actually have the elite, a tiny group of people, in actual control. For the first time in history, they can literally do whatever they want and kill whoever they want. And they're a bunch of eugenic freaks who all they do is go to eugenics conferences and sit around and talk about it and fund it and talk about how there's super genetics. I mean, that's their religion. And they can't wait to build a control grid using 9/11 as the pretext to kill us in an orderly fashion. I'm sorry that that's the truth, and I'm sorry that the real world's a scary place, and I'm sorry that that's what we face. They could use super plagues. They'll probably use genetically engineered race-specific bioweapons. It probably won't be, not by fire, but by bioweapon. Not by fire, but by the cold shakes of bio-warfare. Now I'm so sick of it. I mean, we have a guild of the priest of power who revel in the unmitigated, unadulterated, unrestricted, absolute exercise of power. Every control freak, every criminal, every psychopath you've ever known, every creepy person you've ever known with breeding and aplomb and social graces and the best schooling, inbred with a mission to have all the technology and life extension and everything for themselves, the ultimate in selfishness and control freak, the ultimate scientifically built and focused and being used against us, and you've got the general public running around giggling, busting their hind ends to be able to buy baubles and trinkets and symbols of power, which are just churned out of the slave factories of the New World Order that mean nothing. They tell you what to care about, which isn't real. That's why I don't have time, folks. I don't have time for people that work around me, that play games, that I've been around, and who try to control me. I don't have time for people in the community that snipe at me and lie about me. I don't have time for anyone to mess with me. I am on a mission, period. And that's why I get so angry when I get distracted from it. Help me in this mission. Join me. Not behind me, beside me, in front of me. We're here together. This is real. And I don't have words to describe how serious it is. You know it's muy, muy, muy bad. Let's jam a few calls in here. Who's up first here? Jim in Texas, go ahead.
Hey there, Mr. Jones. How you doing?
I guess I'm doing all right.
I was just calling on behalf of I was watching this commercial the other day, or it was actually a television where the military was talking about how all these video games are influencing young kids, blah blah blah. But the military has a video game that they had created themselves for training purposes in the military, and it kind of intrigued me because I'm all.
Where do you think video games came from?
Oh, they came from the higher intelligent people, the military, creators.
They were training aids to artificially install kill instinct, reflex of fire.
Yeah, yeah, and that kind of intrigued me because I play the game myself all the time, you know. But the thing is they got in-depth detailed training on
what
you
do you think
do in the military, you know?
What do you think simulators, you fly a simulator to learn how to fly an aircraft and to stay up on it, and see, I mean, these are killing simulators.
Yeah, yeah, it's really intriguing because, I mean, and the thing is that I just want to kind of, you know, help you out, too, as well. I want the world to kind of open their eyes because, I mean, everything that people that, even around you that, you know, that you ain't even paying attention to the conversation that they're talking about, but some of the things that people say are pertaining to half of the stuff that, you know, is going on in this world, but, you know, it seems like they don't even care about it, you know?
Well, they're going to find out. Listen, you act like a bunch of sheep out there on the field and don't and tell yourself there's not wolves in the world, you're going to get your guts torn out.
Yeah, and exactly. I heard a comment, as a matter of fact, last night on the Inferno 3, the television show Inferno 3. A gentleman, one of them kids got on there and said, the evil will always triumph because good is dumb. And those quote, those are his words, you know. And kind of
what show is this on?
Inferno 3.
Listen, I got to jump, but put all that in the story. Email it to us. We'll post it. I mean, put your observations together of the media. We'll start posting it. Look, they train you that torturing children's good on 24. They're indoctrinating you, bathing you in the wickedness, seducing you into psychopathic appetites.
Year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. I want you to imagine waking up one morning to find out you've been burglarized. An intruder has taken your personal possessions. Credit card numbers, social security cards, banking information, and more, all in the hands of a total stranger. What's worse is you realize he got it through your front door because you left it unlocked. Every time you walk away from your computer, leaving your internet connection on, you are virtually inviting hackers, criminals, and Big Brother to access your personal information. Put a stop to this right now with the Net7 network security switch from Net7 Technologies. Turn your internet on and off with one simple switch. There's no software to load, and it's so easy to install. Right now, you can order your Net7 security switch from Net7 Technologies for only $39.95. For a limited time, receive free shipping with your order. Visit net7tech.com. That's net, the number 7, tech.com, and start protecting yourself today.
All All right, folks, final segment. I'll try to jam in a call or two here. Maybe Johnny and Pat. I want to go to JD, Tom, everybody, but we just can't do it all here. Try to have more open phones tomorrow. But we'll try to take a few in a second, but don't quit babbling. Just talking about video games, there's lots of video game things I could play, but here's the one we've got where the UN takes over and saves us. And I mean, this is just total conditioning, and most of the games are like this. Here it is.
Following a disputed election and a tie vote, the U.S. Congress installs the most unpopular president in U.S. history as David Jefferson Adams becomes the 44th president of the United States. Shortly after the election, increased unrest, rioting, and a growing number of militias have given rise to ever-increasing domestic terrorism. In response, the president invokes the Homeland Security Act and declares martial law on the West Coast and other areas of the country. Though highly contested, a Supreme Court ruling sidesteps the electoral process, disqualifying popular presidential candidates from several states. Public outrage explodes when a sham election leads to incumbent David Adams accepting a second term in office. During the 57th Inauguration Day ceremonies, Washington, D.C. is struck by a low-yield nuclear weapon, killing David Adams and most of the U.S. Congress. The destruction of Washington, D.C. effectively breaks the chain of succession, sending the nation into chaos. In an emergency vote, the European Union deploys peacekeepers in the greater D.C. area to secure international interests. With separatist sentiment rising, California's governor declares home rule and secedes from the Union. Texas follows quickly and declares sovereignty, taking neighboring states with them and forming the Republic of Texas. Now, the once United States of America lie in ruin. The time for words has passed, and a second American Civil War now erupts as seven factions wage war across the land. They battle one another to reclaim a nation, to restore peace, to rebuild this shattered union.
And the incredible thing is, that's actually a New World Order plan with the Southwest and Civil War they plan to stir up. It wouldn't be that big and go on that long, but no, they want to take us out of the game. And they're really setting up for that. I mean, here's the Associated Press. Oh, the New York cops will be working for the UN. Oh, and go and, I mean, it's just, when does it end? When does it stop? You know what? I can't take calls because I just remembered I got to cover this. I promised to. Can't even plug my films available at InfoWars.com. Because I said I'd cover this. Monsanto's GM corn, MON863, shows kidney liver toxicity in animals studies. And this is from News Target, and it goes through all the documents. It says the corn in question, MON863, is made by the Monsanto company. It's made by them. And approved for use in Australia, Canada, China, the European Union, Japan, Mexico, and the Philippines, and the United States. And by the way, they're all toxic. I've had scientists, Nobel Prize winners on. I mean, these are official studies, hundreds of them, and they keep them quiet, most of them. I mean, just kill stuff. Just keep gobbling. Let the bees die. Let's just have a global warming tax, though. Totally fake. It has had a gene inserted from bacteria Bacillus thuringiensis, BT, which causes the plant cells to produce a pesticide. And this is the one. This is a separate deal. This was with rats, and then this was with other mammals, and this is the thing they link to killing the bees. And it goes in to say researchers fed rats either modified corn or diets containing 11 or 30% of the engineered corn. The rats who ate the modified corn were found to exhibit signs of liver and kidney toxicity as well as signs of hormonal changes. Male rats lost an average of 3.3% of their body weight, and it goes on. Keep feeding your kids it all. We're all going to eat it. I guess we're all going to die. Back tonight, 9 to midnight. Back tomorrow. God bless you all.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.